Father God, we just want to truly thank you from the bottom of our heart for all you have done in our life. By your grace we have today, you have given us so that we can gather in the name of Jesus to worship you. We confess that we are nothing but a breath, we are nothing but dust, but you have given us life eternal so that we can be the living being who can praise you. Father, we thank you for your presence here, and we ask your powerful empowerment by the Holy Spirit today to truly be surrendered to your will. Father, may the joy of heaven be our strength as we celebrate this Sunday, the day your Son Jesus has risen from the tomb. Let the joy of resurrection be always our strength for the rest of our life and into eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What should be the chief desire of the church? I believe it is to manifest the glory of God in the fallen world we live in. But how can you do that? We'll answer this question at the end. But I think there are three truths that we need to understand in regards to God's glory. So we are going to develop three important truths about God's revelation. Historically, we have a clear example from the Old Testament in the generation of Moses. God manifested his glory in his way. And when Moses cried out to God, "Show me your glory," God has his own way of revealing his glory to him. But what does it mean to say God revealed his glory in his way? God determined everything here on this occasion with Moses. He determined it, and he decided it, and he caused it to happen. God is to be known only by his way. There is no other way. People say that we can find God by their own way, and they say there are many different paths, but that will lead to one truth. However, according to the Bible, that is not the case. It is impossible for us to know God's way unless God reveals it. So there's only one truth in that way. God has to be the initiator. God has to be the decider. And God has to be the cause of that. God is to be known only in his own way. We see from the book of Exodus how Moses was placed in the cleft of the rock, and God's hand is put on top of it, and then his hand is removed so that Moses was able to see the back of God, which is a glimpse of God's glory. Moses did not see God's face because God didn't allow that. But yet God protected Moses by hiding his face so that he would not be able to see God's face. So God revealed himself to Moses according to his determination in his way. This is how God revealed himself. So this is the first truth that I'd like to share this morning. God reveals his glory in his way. God reveals his glory in his way. And this is the essence of Christianity. The God of the Bible is to reveal out of his sovereign will in the way he wants. No one can find God by their way. The whole gamut of so-called religion is an attempt of humanity to find God according to what it wants. And actually, if you try to find God according to your way, you end up idolatry, because you try to define God according to your own mind. That's why the whole gamut of religion end up in idolatry. That's exactly what happened to Aaron. They tried to figure out who God is, and they ended up creating the golden calf, which was idolatry. They may have a good intention to find God, but that wasn't the God God wanted to reveal to them. So let me give you this illustration. When you look at the sun, what do you think? We see the light. Actually, there is no stronger light than the sunlight to us. The sunlight is the brightest light for us on the earth. Lux is a standardized of the measurement of the light level intensity, which is commonly referred to as illuminance or illumination, lux. So what is exactly one lux? A measurement of one lux is equal to the illumination of 1 meter a square surface that is 1 meter away from a single candle. In other words, if you have a single candle and you take 1 meter away and watch you observe the sun, the candlelight, that is called one lux. So family living room is about 50 lux, and homes or theaters about 150, and lobbies and public corridors about 200 lux, and school classroom, university lecture hall is about 250 lux. And office and showrooms and laboratories and kitchens about 500 lux, and factory workshop 750, and supermarket or sports hall again 750, and hospital theater 1000 lux, and direct sunlight is about 100,000 lux. So how do you know that there is light on the earth? God revealed it by making the sun. It was totally God's will to make the sun and let it illuminate its light, which constantly illuminates about 100,000 lux every moment. So we did not create the light, God did. And we simply observed it when humanity came to live on the earth. God already made the light. In the beginning, the first thing God made was light. God said, "Let there be light," and light was there. And it was good to God as He created light so that it can illuminate over the dark. You know, thanks to God, God made light as the first thing, and since then, the whole creation can see themselves and other creations that God made, because God made the light. And light is a glimpse of God's glory. God is determined to reveal His glory in the way He chose to. You know, from the entire Old Testament, Moses was the person who was closer to God than anyone else. And I can say that Moses was most close to God among the entire humanity who lived on the earth before Christ came. He was closest to God relationally and distance-wise. But even to Moses, God did not reveal His face. As He said, "You cannot live. You cannot see my face and live. No one can see me and live." That's what God said to him. Exodus 33:20. You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. Exodus 33:20. Even to Moses, God did not reveal everything, because without Jesus, no mortal can live when they see God's holiness, because we needed covering, but Jesus hasn't come yet. That's why God protected Moses from being killed at the place where his face might be seen to him. That's why God prevented Moses from seeing his face, but God showed him his back because of his mercy. So that is so much of the Old Testament Bible. But we have more than the Old Testament Bible. The New Testament Bible was written. There is a continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But God did not reveal everything in one shot. If he did, we would not have had the need for the New Testament Bible. We just had enough with the Old Testament Bible, which is the Torah of the Jewish religion, Judaism. That would have been sufficient if God revealed everything in one shot. But not everything was revealed in the Old Testament. And if we lived in the Old Testament time, there would be no way we would have known Jesus as we know him today. Moses kind of knew that God will send a messianic figure like him who will lead his people, but he did not know Jesus as we would know Jesus, because God didn't reveal Jesus in the Old Testament time, especially to Moses, even to Moses. So this is called the progressive revelation. Progressive revelation. God did not reveal everything in one shot. But as history progresses, God reveals more and more. So God decided to reveal important truths in a progressive fashion. And although there is a trace of Jesus in the Old Testament, but the full revelation of Jesus Christ only took place in the first century AD. So we have the New Testament in which we can find who Jesus is. The messianic figure of the Old Testament is now fully revealed in the person of Jesus Christ in the first century, and that is why we have two parts of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So in a nutshell, the Old Testament Bible is about Messiah who is to come, and the New Testament Bible is Messiah who came. So both Old Testament and New Testament point to Jesus Christ. But in Old Testament, they vaguely knew Messiah will come. And Isaiah is the one who understood this Messiah more than anyone else. That's why if you read Isaiah, we can see a glimpse of Jesus Christ, even crucifixion and even his resurrection. But it is still vague. It is a metaphorical language. But when you come to New Testament, read Gospel of John and other Gospels, we clearly know who Jesus is. You know, even the secular history divided up the time of history based on the birth of Jesus Christ. B.C. and A.D. B.C. is before Christ, and A.D. is Anno Domini, which means in Latin, in the year of the Lord, which is the year Jesus was born. So they even recognize the importance of Jesus' birth, B.C. and A.D., and we have Old Testament Bible and New Testament Bible. So this is the second point I'd like to make. God reveals his glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. God reveals his glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. Um, You know, Moses did not know Jesus Christ at the level that we know Jesus. Even the greatest figure of the entire Old Testament has a tremendous disadvantage knowing Jesus Christ. We know Jesus because God fully revealed His Son Jesus in the New Testament. Look at John 1:18, first part. No one has seen God at any time. This is the beginning of John's Gospel. No one has seen God at any time. This is the preamble to the Gospel. The Gospel of John begins with what we have seen from the entire Old Testament. No one has seen God at any time. And even Moses could not see God's face. But we have a second part of John 1:18. Which read, "The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." You know, before Jesus came, no one has seen God at any time, but things were changing. Paradigm is changing because God progressively revealed more about His glory. And this time, the only begotten God, that refers to Jesus Christ, who is in the bosom of the Father. That's the expression of intimacy. The Son of God and the Father of God, they had intimate relationship, which is called Trinity. A relationship of love and glory and intimacy. And He has explained Him. Who is He? The begotten God, which refers to Jesus Christ, explained Him, His Father. So God decided to reveal Himself by the only begotten God, who is the Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father. And this Jesus who came to this world has explained His Father. So whatever Jesus revealed is a full knowledge about God's glory, because the Son of God, who was with His Father even before the foundation of the world, He came to this world and explained about the Father. So John's Gospel begins with this, John 1, verses 1 and 2. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And here, Word refers to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. So that's a preeminent existence of Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come. And the Word was with God. The Son was with His Father. And the Word was God. So Jesus Christ is divine. He's not a creation, rather He's a creator with His Father, and He was in the beginning with God. So this is the beginning of the Gospel of John, which is very important paradigm shift. So basically it says two things: the deity of the Word, Jesus Christ, and the relationship with the Word, to Jesus Himself with God the Father. So Trinity. This is a co-equality of the Son with the Father. So Jesus is God, the Father is God, Holy Spirit is God, and God is one. So both Son and the Father had the same preeminent existence as the Creator. The name God revealed to Moses, "I am," Yahweh, applies to Jesus. That's why Jesus claims so many "I am." "I am the life," "I am the way," "I am the bread of life." That "I am" refers to the preeminence, the nature of God, as the name God introduced Moses for the first time. So what John 18 is saying, that the new era has come. which is signaled by the coming of Jesus Christ to this world. The new revelation has been revealed by Jesus Christ. God hinted the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament, but this Messiah God hinted to mankind who lived in the Old Testament era has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is called progressive revelation. Although Jesus was hinted many times in the Old Testament, even animal sacrifice was hinted for the need of the Redeemer, but animal wasn't completely cannot redeem our sin. That's why they had to do it over and over and over again. But when Jesus came, Jesus is the final sacrifice that the sacrificial system was abolished after Jesus came, because there's no need for priests to continue to do so, because Jesus died for our sins once and for all. So Messiah has come in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the full revelation. Now we know that this Messiah referred by the Old Testament prophet was Jesus himself. Let's look at Second Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Let's read once more. This is a key verse. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I think here God talks about two different lights. God revealed the physical light in the beginning when he created the universe to mankind so that we can see the physical world. We see this thing because God created the light in the beginning. And that is great. You know, by seeing the light, sunlight, we see the glimpse of God's glory. But God did more than that. That's the second part. The God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shown another light in our heart, which is called the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So this light is not physical in nature. And this light is shining our heart, cardia. When Bible says cardia, which is translated our heart, it refers to the center and the source of the whole inner life with its thinking and feeling and volition. That's what heart means. So heart is our inner being, our inner faculty. So this light is the enlightenment to our mind, our heart, and our spirit. And this light is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So by knowing this light, we experience the glory of God. But how is the glory, this glory of God experienced in the face of Christ? So that's a key word, in the face of Christ. So by knowing Jesus Christ, we see and experience the full glory of God in our heart. So when you have Jesus in your heart, not only you are enlightened by this physical world, by the light God created, but also God illuminates his truth in us so that our hearts is enlightened, we know this glory of God, imminent in our life. So God has shown His glory in many different ways in history. In Moses' generation, they saw God's glory by seeing different things. When God parted the Red Sea, they saw the glory of God. And when they see the pillars of fire at night and pillars of cloud in daytime, they saw the glory of God through that. And even Moses wanted to know more of the glory of God, so he asked, "Show me your glory." And God showed some glimpse of His glory, but not entirety, because without covering, without Jesus Christ, Moses would have been died. That's why He prevented showing His face to him, but only partially let Moses see his back part. But that's the way God showed Himself in the Old Testament time. But all these manifestations of God's glory have been limited and partial. Not everybody knew who God was in the entirety of who God is. Why? Because God decided to show that much to that generation. Why? Because that's God's will. God decided that way. God had different plan for that generation. God didn't reveal everything to that generation. But let's look at John 1:14. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father and full of grace and truth." According to John, Jesus is God's glory. That's what he's saying. John saw Jesus, and God's glory as Jesus called him to follow him. John and James were the fishermen of Galilee, but when they saw this brother, Jesus commanded them to follow me, and they followed him. This glory of God is completely different in nature from all other glory we have seen. This glory of God is the glory as of the only begotten from the Father. So this glory of God is in the person of the only begotten Son from the Father. So in other words, God's glory is manifested in the person who is known as Jesus Christ. And this verse said, "full of grace and truth." So God's glory manifested in Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. But there's a strange thing here. When John saw Jesus, what happened to him? Did he die? No. He saw Jesus, God's glory, and lived. Isn't that contradictory from what happened to Moses' generation? God said, "No one will see me and live." But here, John saw God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ, didn't die, but rather lived. Why is that? Is that contradictory between Old Testament and New Testament? I think we have to pay attention to this phrase, "full of grace and truth." Without God's grace, without God's covering in the person of Jesus, John would have died as well when he saw Jesus. But the glory of Jesus is full of grace and truth. The grace Jesus brought with him when he revealed God's glory made John not dead when he saw Jesus, who is God's glory. because Jesus is the grace of God. He's our covering. He's our covering. Through Him, we can see God's glory and yet still live. And actually, no one would live without seeing the face of Jesus in this generation. That's a progressive revelation of God. God brought His grace into this world. Of course, there's a glimpse of God's grace in the Old Testament, but it was just a trace of that. But when Jesus came, God brought His grace in the person of Jesus so that whoever believed in Jesus would not die, but has eternal life. It's a paradigm shift. So God reveals His glory through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is God's grace. So God's grace is so much important for each one of us. Without God's grace, we cannot be here. But because Jesus brought God's grace, we can see the glory of God through this person, the Son of God, the only begotten God, from God. And the last point I'd like to make is this. Jesus Christ is the necessary and sufficient manifestation of God's glory. Jesus Christ is the necessary and sufficient manifestation of God's glory. What does that mean? We need Jesus to see God's glory. That's a necessary part of it. And Jesus is sufficient. If we see Jesus, that is enough. We don't need any other revelation from God to see God's glory. That's what it means. Jesus Christ is the necessary and sufficient manifestation of God's glory. If you look at Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, you know, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophet of many portions and in many ways, in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed, heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. So this verse is basically saying God spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, which is basically Old Testament. God spoke through the prophets as the spokesperson for God's word. But verse 2 said, in these last days, which is the era of the New Testament, when Messiah came, from that time, the Bible refers to that period from now is called the last days. In these last days has spoken to us in His Son. So prophets spoke God's word in the Old Testament, but now His Son is speaking to us the word of God. And this Son of God is the one appointed by the Father as heir of all things. And through Jesus Christ, He made the world. So Jesus Christ is also the Creator. Through Jesus Christ, He made the world. So what this means is no one can explain God except Jesus. That's why we have a New Testament Bible. Especially at the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John, and Luke, Jesus spoke, and they written down what Jesus spoke. And from that Gospels, we understand who God is, which is a continuation. It's not a contradictory from the Old Testament manifestation, but Jesus made it clear. Son explained the Father. And by sending His Son Jesus, God the Father revealed His glory through His Son. And that is the only way God reveals His glory in the New Testament era, which is referred as in these last days. God spoke to us through His Son. And the entire Bible is called the Word of God, and Jesus is actually the Word, a living Word, according to Gospel of John. And the Bible is history, His story. Old Testament pointing to the Messiah to come, and New Testament testifies who came. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Son and glorify the Son as the Holy Spirit teaches us with the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus once said, He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify Him, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit never exists apart from glorifying Jesus Christ. So that's how we discern whether the Spirit is true or not. It has to tie with Jesus Christ. That's why Holy Spirit is humble Spirit. He doesn't even have a name, because His role is to testify us with the truth of Jesus Christ and teaches us with what Jesus has taught us. And His role is to glorify the Son. And the Son's role is glorify the Father, and the Father glorify the Son. That's why it's called Holy Trinity. So Jesus Christ is the necessary and sufficient manifestations of God's glory. You know, Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus, had a question to Jesus, which is written in Gospel of John 14. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where we are going, where you are going, and how do we know the way? So Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. You know, Thomas is a good example because we can associate with him. He has seen him, Jesus, for 3 years, and at the last moment, Jesus gathered the disciples. Thomas still didn't get it. And Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Because Thomas didn't know where to go. And Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. So this is probably hardest, one of the hardest verses of the Bible. The exclusiveness of Christianity. Because Christianity says there's only one way to go to heaven. That way is Jesus' way. No other way. Why we are so exclusive? Because exactly what Jesus said. We don't create exclusivity, you know, from our own thought. It's not very popular because people think that you should allow for diversity. But Jesus didn't allow diversity here. Only one way, through Him. Only by believing Him, we can go to heaven. We can know God. There's no other way. That's why we will continue to hold on to this truth. And Jesus also said, if you had known me, you'd have known my Father. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So Thomas was still figuring out who God is. And Jesus saying, you see me, and then you see my Father. If you know me, you know my Father. So Jesus is the sufficient and necessary manifestations of God's glory. And we have another person, Philip. John Fulton. John Fulton is amazing. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I not so long with you? Have I been so long with you? And yet you have not come to know me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, Show us the Father? So Jesus is saying the same thing to Philip as he did to Thomas. He who has seen me has seen the Father. You know, we don't have to figure out who God is, who the Father is, because if we have enough knowledge about who Jesus is, we know the Father. And you have seen me, and you have seen the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have to believe in Jesus Christ to receive this life eternal, which is glory of God. And no one has seen me, has seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the only way. And he didn't say, I am a life. He said, I am the life. Only through me you have eternal life. And I am the truth. It's an amazing statement. He didn't say, I am a truth, but the truth, the only truth. It's sufficient and necessary. You know, this means only through Jesus we have the way, and we know the truth, and we have the life. And only by believing in Jesus we would know where to turn. We would understand the truth, the absolute truth, and we would experience life eternal now and forevermore. You know, Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. The brightness of the glory of God. You know, show me your glory, Christ, humanity. And God says, I will show you my glory, but in my own way. And this is the way, in the face of my Son, Jesus Christ. Progressively, God revealed the way we can see God, and only in the face of Jesus Christ. So when we know Jesus, we know God. So God is saying, in my Son, you have brightness of my glory. And believe him, and you will know me, and see him, and you will see me. So in the beginning I said, how can we manifest the glory of God in the fallen world we live in? How can you do that? How can we manifest the glory of God in the fallen world we live in? The first thing is believe in Jesus Christ. You know, that's the only way. We cannot even do anything unless we believe in Jesus Christ. Faith in the person of Jesus Christ who died for our sins and who lived to prove that our sins are forgiven. Only by believing him, we can get into the first step to manifest the glory of God in this fallen world. So that's the first step. Believe in Jesus Christ. If you have not believed in him, you have to believe to reflect God's glory. And second thing is, continue to believe in him. You know, faith is not something that you just do it once and graduate from that, move on. Jesus said, believe in the gospel. In Mark's gospel, the very first word is, believe in the gospel. As the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe in the gospel. That believe is not just one-time belief, but continue to believe. Continue to believe. Because faith can grow. Your initial faith is not the mature faith. You know, you believe in the basics. Jesus died for my sin. And have confidence in Jesus Christ that I'll go to heaven. That's the beginning. But we need to continue to believe in Him in every situation. You're going to run into difficult times. You're going to go through valleys and deserts. And even then, we would continue to believe in Him. His goodness and His glory, that He will protect us, He will sustain us, and He will guide us to the end, the destination, through the valley and through the desert experience. Third thing I'd say, how can you manifest the glory of Jesus, glory of God in the fallen world? Be Jesus' disciples. So believe in Jesus and continue to believe in Him and be disciples of Jesus. What do you mean by being disciples of Jesus? Being disciples of Jesus means you become like Jesus, basically. You follow Him so that you would become like Him. That means want to think as He does and do as He would and pray as He prays and live for God's glory as He did and love as He loved. That's what it means being the disciples of Jesus. So believe in Him at the first step, and secondly, continue to believe in Him no matter what happens in your life. Do not give up, but continue on, and God will give you strength and be His disciples. Jesus once said, being a disciple is the way that you show glory of God. Very important step. Think as He does and do as He would. Pray as He prays. Live for God's glory. And love as He loves. And that's the way that we can manifest the glory of God in this fallen world every day. Shall we bow down our head for the moment? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You deeply from our heart to show Your glory through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Not even Moses knew the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but You have given Jesus to us so that we would know Him, we would understand Him, and we would know God's will through Him. And we thank You for Your grace and mercy and compassion extended to our generation. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are the one we would look after. And You are the final revelation of God. There's no other, because that's what God says to us. We thank You for Your coming and reveal God's heart in this generation. Lord Jesus, we ask Your Holy Spirit to help us to truly understand You and truly believe in You and truly follow You as our target of our life, as our objective, as our purpose of life, to know You and to have You known in this world. And Lord, may Your glory be manifest from each one of us by trusting in You, by continuing to believing in You, and by being like You. Give all the honor and glory to You, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
twinkling stars they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was falling. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was raised. The power of love forever broken. And the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was set. The Savior of the world was falling. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. And the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not. A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome.
Forever he is glorified.
Father, we glorify your Son's name, and by that you are glorified. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of our Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen. We'll continue on our